Zone Radio, Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head. These are the bros. This is family. I hate that we're doing Zoom right now because I wanted them to be able to hear me to say, Jake and Papa. Jake and Papa in the building, man. Family, man. How y'all feeling first and foremost?
Yeah, we just blessed to be here, like you said. Man, just moving right along every day, man. I'm glad to be here with y'all, man. It's been a minute. We proud of y'all. But since the last time we met, y'all have done amazing things, man. So I'm glad to be sitting here with you guys, even if it's virtual, just to say we're proud of y'all and keep doing y'all shit.
I'm not necessarily mad that we're doing this on Zoom because I own stock in the company. You know what I'm saying?
This guy.
I'm not necessarily upset that we're doing this over Zoom because I own stock in the company. So
you better say it.
Right. So with this right here, man, it's special for us, at least special for me, myself. I can say this because you guys have been supporting us from day one. Like, you guys, there's record. Like, you're one of few that have seen, like, the transition, you know what I'm saying, from the apartment to Signal Hill, to Signal Hill, to the Market Street, and from Market Street to Real 92.3. So it's an honor, man. And we've been seeing the evolution of Jake and Papa ever since as well, man. So with Blackberry Winter, man, talk about the project. I know this is, you've been doing something that a lot of people haven't done, which is create during the pandemic, right? A lot of people may do it, but they may not put something out. So let's talk about that, how you guys are doing, you know, and the decision to actually create and actually put something out during this whole time right now.
Man, it's been a blessing. We are blessed to be able to have a studio right here. Like, it's literally right behind us. So we're pushed to make music all the time. And especially during this time when we were able to get around family much more, we were able to spend time with different intimate relationships much more. It did honestly inspire a lot of music, man. A lot of beautiful ideas for videos. There was a lot of meditating going on, a lot of spiritual awakening during this time, I'm sure for everybody, which inspired a lot of creativity. And because we are truly blessed to have the studio here, we are able to create whenever our mind tells us to create. And so we have so much music that we want to share. This is just the tip of the iceberg, you know? So we can't wait to give all of it to y'all. We're trying to, you know, literally we're just on a call before this, trying to map it all out because we have so much we want to share with y'all. This whole situation has been a blessing.
Yeah. When y'all record these songs, do you already have a project in mind? Do you know how some people, like, they have a body of work that they want to create and craft, and then they go into it with that mind state, or you guys just create and figure it out after?
So it depends. So we have an album that we've been talking about for a while. That album, when we were working on it, we had it in mind that we were working on this specific album with this specific vision. But for Blackberry Winter, we had just been recording all 2020. And then at the end of it, we wanted to put out a project that felt like Blackberry Winter, and these songs fit that. There was probably 100 songs there, and we just picked those 7.
Yeah. Y'all should cut out. There you go. My bad. What's the name of it? BET? Is it BET Uncut?
I love that song. Everybody love that.
Yeah, that's you know, I mean, obviously, I'm sure that you already knew that I was going to gravitate towards that one because y'all know me. But
I don't know, man. I sent it to you and you didn't respond. So I'm like, oh, Head's not fucking with it.
No. It's not that I wasn't fucking with it. It's not that I wasn't fucking with it. But I think that what it is for me is I'm listening because I already know, like, I know what y'all sound is. And I know, like, I know that you be hesitant that, well, not you, but I know that typically when I've requested certain sounds or certain things, it's like, well, we'll do it, but we'll do it in our way. You know what I'm saying? So I felt like it was still authentic to Jake and Papa, the way the sound was, but I did feel like y'all ventured outside of your comfort zone just a tad bit in crafting a song in that way.
I disagree. I mean, if you look back at, like, I Got It and Leave Me, and, you know, we come from the West, you already know. So songs like BET Uncut, to be honest with you, come the most natural. I know for me personally.
Okay.
I write those kind of songs like in my sleep. So, but there was a time when I remember when we put out I Got It, and I was talking to Nikki and Ace because they had a song. We was in Oakland, San Francisco. We was doing our little runs, and everybody kept approaching us to do those kind of records. And I was just like, I'm tired of doing this shit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, because we can do it and I love to do it, but that's not all we do. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes I try not to do it too much, you know, because I don't want to be put into a box. If that makes sense.
Oh, I get it. I understand. I think that I think when I'm listening to certain songs, like especially when it comes to R&B, like for instance, like it's no secret that I'm not a big R&B head, right? So I have to be a fan in order to appreciate certain R&B artists, albums, projects, songs, whatever. I'm a fan of Jake and Papa, so I think that I'm a little biased. You know what I'm saying, when it comes to certain things.
Yeah.
In my opinion, because a lot of times people play like R&B is like to me such an art that is beyond me. Like it's something that I don't feel like I could truly appreciate because I don't think I'm emotionally intelligent enough to appreciate
it. This nigga a robot. That's what it is. He ain't got feelings. He ain't got emotions.
It's not that I don't have feelings. Like, I just know.
Me can't compute. Me can't compute emotions, feelings.
I think that I'm just. I don't know what it is, to be honest with you. I mean, he has his theory, but I think that for me, I just. I think what it is because I'm a DJ. I came up in the Lil Jon era. I think it's hard for me to appreciate R&B in the true way that it's supposed to be appreciated. So when I do appreciate songs, I appreciate it a lot. And I just want that. Like, just give me that over. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just keep giving me those over and over and over again.
Yeah. You know what? And I think, you know, when it comes to R&B, there are a lot of artists who have their little lane. And it's just like, you're going to get John Legend. You know, you're going to get those piano songs from John Legend. When you listen to Daniel Caesar, you're going to get those songs from Daniel Caesar. I feel like with me and my brother, we have, you know, a wide vision when it comes to R&B. It's still going to come out R&B, but we have a lot of different ways that we articulate it. So over time, you're gonna hear BET Uncut, but you're also going to hear Codis Winner. You're also going to hear Solo, but it's all Jake and Papa. You know, and the more you get to know Jake and Papa, the more you'll understand that it's all cohesive.
Now,
hold on. Before we switch gears, well, we're gonna switch gears.
Go ahead.
I just want to know because I want to get into we talking about the album and one thing I wanted to kind of lead with to start with was the cover, man. Let's talk about the Snapchat filter, man. The young bulls right here.
Yeah,
this is
Snapchat filter.
Look at they got it. Looked like the Snapchat. Is that a real picture or is that? The filter that they got on the like I see the social media where you can actually make yourself look like a baby. Is this like, cause I see the tattoos on there too. Yeah. So I mean, fuck me up. I'm like, is this a filter or did they, I don't know how the hell y'all, I mean, obviously it's Photoshop, but talk about the cover in itself and what, how does it tie into Blackberry Winter?
Yeah. So, I actually did that cover myself. So
get out of here, bro.
I did. So this is a real photo that I think we might have been like 11 and 12 in this picture. We didn't have no tats. Our mom took the picture. And so when I started listening to the music, I just blacked out and I picked that picture and it just came to me to just throw our tattoos on it. Cause it's just like, when you think about Jake and Papa from then and now, and like, if you listen to Jake and Papa's music when we was 10 and 11, 12, you're going to hear a lot of the flipping back and forth like Codis Winner, you know what I'm saying? Then over time, we learned how to be a little bit more melodic and slow it down. It just feel like to me, Jake and Papa then and now fused together is that picture and this music.
Now I love it. I love it because when I first seen it, I was like, oh, okay, I like this. I just wanted to know the detail behind it, like you guys' vision. With putting it together, because I mean, I think it's cold. This shit is hard.
It took a long ass time too, bro.
To put it together.
Yeah, I mean, to put them tattoos and all that shit.
Got it. Hey, yeah, I really thought it was like a super. I thought you just put the face on the body, but that shit is hard, bro. Now that I'm looking at it, it's like, damn.
Hey, Jake, I want to know at what point throughout the creative process did you find out that you would be Takeoff on Bad and Bougie for the intro?
He did the outro.
Yeah, did the outro.
Man. I know, but I'm just saying, at what point did you figure out that, you know, take off, that you got left off? you got left off the intro, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was an idea that he had.
Do it look like you got left off the intro?
Yeah, it do. It says Papa on that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? It don't say nothing about Drake.
Hey man, it was a dope idea he had. I was just following the lead, man. You know,
let it roll.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? A lot of people don't know about us is like we're very influenced by hip hop and rap. So I directly got that idea from Lil Wayne, the Carter II album. You know, when he had the interludes, the intro, the outro, and the interlude, and it was all the same beat.
Same, right.
Like, I was always inspired by that. Like, that's the type of shit I used to listen to on a bus. So we're always trying to figure out ways to bring people closer in and understand who Jake and Papa is. So I was like, this is a different approach to that.
One thing that I always respect about you guys, and it's tied into the music too, but just individually how you guys brand the 818. Right, you guys do a hell of a job to make sure that you guys are putting on for your section. You know what I'm saying? And where a lot of times it's easy for people to attach themselves to LA or, you know what I'm saying, like just the Southern California, the region. But you guys make it possible to brand 818. Kind of talk about that and where you feel like you have something to do with the sound, or if there is a sound in the 818 that you guys feel like you are a part of. Because I feel like it doesn't get enough credit as much as it should.
Yeah. I think the beauty of growing up here was that it was a melting pot of everything. And so the middle school, high school, college, like every instance I could think of, we were surrounded by a lot of different cultures. Mm-hmm. And so being surrounded by a lot of different cultures desensitized us to a lot of different things. And it helped that our mom and dad played a lot of different kinds of music. They used to play Fleetwood Mac, Elton John, gospel, everything. They used to play everything. And so because we grew up in such a melting pot, It was very easy to rock. Man, Stevie Wonder said something so dope one time. We was talking to him and he was like, man, Stevie, our older brother was like, Stevie, give us some jewels. Like, what can you tell us? What's something you can give us for our career? And he just started rambling off on a bunch of different dope ass pieces of just, you know, of game and wisdom.
Yeah.
And one of the things he said was, listen to all kinds of different music and your music will take you to all kinds of different places. Mm-hmm. And by that time, we had already been doing that our whole lives. It was almost like confirmation, like, yeah, all the different things we've experienced in this space, they are, they're assets. And so I literally, you know, before we got on the conference call before this, I was recording a country song and I can't wait to get back and record that country song. Like, it's literally sitting on this computer right here. I'm telling you, it's going to be a game changer.
Wait. Hold on.
I'm telling you.
Wait, so when you say country song, like, you mean, like there's a... Bow, 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 bow.
Look, bro, I'm doing it a cappella, and I'm going to send it to my homie Josh to play guitar, and I'm going to send it to Deshaun Allen to do the drums, and I'm going to send it to Smoot to do things that I can't necessarily say yet. But when I say it's going to be one of the dopest country songs ever, man, it feels so good already, and it's just a cappella. It's fun, and you know, we love listening to all these things. Mm-hmm. Why not make them? But the only reason I say that to say to bring it back around, growing up out here, it was dope. Like, at any given point, you could be on the court with Nick Young and Jordan Farmar. At any given mm-hmm. point, you could be in a studio with whoever. At any given point, you could be getting into a riot with some essays and whatever. Like, it's just, it was everything all in one space, you know? Yeah. And so that was truly a blessing for our, you know, for our upbringing.
And this is where we from, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, our mom was from the east side, we was born on the west side, and then we moved to the valley, but this is where we grew up at, you know what I'm saying? And I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about what the 818 is, because a lot of people over the hill don't come over here, so they just have their own perception of it. So, you know, it's just about helping people understand what it is. Like, we from LA too, you know what I'm saying? It's just a different part, we from the north side.
I think why I identify with that a lot is because obviously we grew up in Carson, right? And, you know, I went to school in Long Beach. My mom worked in Compton. And everybody, we was in the city in the middle. And everybody always gave me shit for being from Carson. Oh, you ain't from Long Beach. You ain't from Compton, right?
Right.
So I had to deal with that. So I always, anytime, and especially when it came to the artists, when we started doing Homegrown, you know, shout out to the IE. The IE has been a big supporter of our movement and what we got going on. And the 818, same thing. It's been a big supporter in what we've been doing. And anytime I've ever heard anybody give shit about those two specific spots, I got to defend it. I'm like, nah, they doing their own shit. They not, you know, it's not that they don't fuck with LA, right? They're just creating their own shit, and rightfully so. They're branding themselves. So anytime that I see artists that do that, it's just like an attachment that I have, and I just respect it a lot more, because it's easy to hop on a wave that's already been going. It's easy to say, oh, yeah, I'm from Compton when Compton is hot. But it's not easy to say some shit like, yeah, I'm from the Great 18 and kind of brand that shit yourself, or if I'm from the IE and do that. You know what I'm saying? So I give you guys ultimate respect for making that happen. Regardless if you move from one spot to the next, I just like the way, as far as with the 818, y'all took that on the back and ran with that shit. So
appreciate you, man, dog. Amen. Thank you.
I'm interested to know what y'all thoughts are on the current state of R&B, because obviously you got a lot of newcomers, you know, like you mentioned Daniel Caesar, and you mentioned like a lot of people that's just getting notoriety nationally, internationally, right? And then you also have the people who've been around for a while. So I'm interested to know what y'all's perspective is on the current state of R&B music when it pertains to popularity, one, and then when it also pertains to skill.
Okay, so I'm gonna start with this. We all watched the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you consider The Weeknd R&B or pop at this point, whatever, but he started pretty much as R&B.
Well, he performed as an R&B artist, in my opinion. Pop is just short for popular music, so.
Right. So The Weeknd performed at the halftime show. Jasmine Sullivan and her both opened it. So R&B was at one of the biggest TV moments of the year, you know, 2 and 3 times, you know what I'm saying? So R&B is very much so alive. As far as the state of it, there's so many amazing artists. You know, you could just go to Apple Music and go to R&B Now and see all the amazing. Giveon, her, Ari Lennox.
You got Garen on the album.
Garen, man, shout out to Garen. Kenyon Dixon,
you know, yeah.
So many people doing it, man. And it's like, and there's so many different forms of it too. That's what's so beautiful. It's not just one way. There's traditional, there's ambient, there's, you know, alternative, like there's so many different kinds of R&B. If you just look for it, you'll find, and you'll be fed.
I think it's one of the, this is a question that I have, and I know you probably get tired of it, just like as far as the state of R&B. This is, but I'm not a creative when it comes to this. So how do you narrow down the songs that you have? You said you've been working throughout the pandemic with a lot of music, right? And you decided to put this out. How do you just say, okay, this is what this is going to be, this body of work? Is it based off of what sounds are like, or is it, okay, no, we got to keep this shit within 7 songs just to kind of give them a teaser for what's coming up? What's the thought process behind putting a body of work together for Jake and Papa?
There's a couple of different formats. So we have an album that we have been holding on to and we're saving. It's going to be very powerful, man. That specific album was a real life experience. And so what we did was we took the experience from beginning to end, and we said, what are the main focal points that were the most impactful? And then let's write a song about each of those points. And it was almost like a checklist that we hit from top to bottom. That was a really fun experience. And then sometimes when you're putting a tape together and, you know, your head is down and you're just working, before you know it, there is a specific vibration and color that you're tapping into subconsciously that you may not realize. When you go back to listen to a lot of the songs, the subject matter is similar, the colors are similar. It's just hitting very similar. And so we'll say, oh man, these songs feel great together. It's about time for a project. We wanna give something to our people. Let's take the songs that feel the best together, that feel harmonic together, and, you know, let's put them together, calibrate them properly, and, you know, put the shit out, you know?
Gotcha. It went out again.
Wow, at least it's happening in between questions, man.
Right. Cut into it. So what, one thing I do want to mention as far as, well, I'm going to switch gears for a second, because the BET Uncut, we talked about, we like that song. But I want to know for you, what BET Uncut moments do you, what resonates the most? The first time, when you say BET Uncut, when you're creating a song, what's that one video from BET Uncut that's top down, that's just a classic for you?
I mean, come on, the Nelly video. Everybody knows that.
Okay.
You talking about Tip Drill. But
Tip Drill, yep. Yeah, there's some other ones, though. There's some hidden gems in BET Uncut.
For sure. Hey, you know what was a game changer, bro?
Which one?
Because, you know, we used to wake up, it'd be on like 3 a.m. and it just happens to be like, oh. And one time I did that, and it was Chingy right there. It was an uncut version.
Yes! Thank you!
I was like, I don't remember that.
There was an uncut version.
Checking the door just to make sure you're wrong.
Yes.
And they need to bring that back, man. They bullshit with us right now. Like,
it's, they've been doing it. They've been saying they're gonna do it like multiple times, and they always say I want to say like they brought it back one time. They brought it back. I want to say this last a couple months back. I think they brought it back either for a night or something. They did
bring
like
it back
April Fool's. But I want to go. I want to dig into the classics that people may not know about.
All okay, right? I got one.
What you got?
I'm gonna do two of them.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna do Ludacris Pea Popping.
Oh man,
that was a gem.
Crazy.
And I'm gonna do an unknown. Okay, it was a dude named Black Jesus. He had a song called "What That Thing Smell Like."
There we go. The hidden classics.
Hey, and I remember the song and everything. Really, it was like, "I want to get it tonight. So, baby, tell me what that thing smell like. What it be like? What it smell like? What it taste like? What it drop like? That shit was hard."
This nigga said, I was outside, bro. I was there.
There was another one. There was another called White Girl. There was another one called, y'all remember that Show Me Your ID?
No, I don't remember that.
Bro, okay.
I know there was one. There was a 50 Cent one, but I don't remember the name of the song.
Oh! There was a 50 Cent one. Inferno. Was it Disco Inferno Uncut? No.
Yeah, Disco Inferno Uncut was crazy.
Bro.
Yeah, there was another one, too. I think Pharrell and Nerd had one, too.
Yeah, they have one. Lap Dance Uncut. Was it Lap Dance? No, it was something else. I don't remember.
Hey, I don't know why I'm drawing a blank on all the titles of these songs. I just remember the artist and I see the video in my head.
Bro.
Good times.
I just know that there was some ones, like you said, some hidden ones that people had no idea from the ones that like there were artists that people were like, yo, how the fuck did they get on here? Like just from there. But that's
back then, they was making versions just for that, man. Like, exactly. That was dope. We need to bring that back, man. Stop bullshitting with this.
Well, let me ask you a question. What would the, if you were to shoot an uncut video for BET Uncut, what would that look like?
So, okay, if you listen to the record, right? And I don't want to ruin this for some people. I mean, you can think about it however you want. But in the record, I'm talking to my woman. I love my little baby, and she love me too. She don't ever get too comfortable. And she always down to show me something new. So it's about... To me, it's about having that woman who is ride or die for you. You guys love each other, but in the bedroom, she's gonna show you what it is. You know what I'm saying? She's gonna show you what that thing smell like.
You also mentioned making love to particular songs, right? So a question that I don't know if I've asked you before, but I do want to just throw it out there. Is it awkward, or have you ever made love to your own song?
Not awkward, I'll tell you that right now. That's a test, you know what I'm saying? You gotta see if it worked. I just recently put higher to the test, and let me tell you, it went higher.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question though. It ain't awkward though when your brother starts singing.
I mean, you don't you make love to D'Angelo or to Floetry or to Jodeci?
I don't fuck to me.
Man, you probably make love with your hat on.
Yeah, he a rock. Yeah, robot.
It's not that. It's just usually be like Netflix in the background.
Yeah, no. I love. Hey, you know what happened one time?
What happened one time? Tell me.
It was Netflix was just on, and Cat Williams came on, and it was like super funny, and we couldn't stop laughing, and she got mad at me for laughing, and it's like, hey, you left it on, but you can't just leave on Netflix, man. You'll be laughing inside of it, and they don't like that.
Okay, let me ask you a question. What you remember the joke that he was on when you was in the box?
This was a very long time ago, and this was an experience where I was very young, and she was older than me, and so she thought I was being immature, but I thought he was just great at what he was doing. And it was the one when he's in the car. Remember, he's in the car with three other comedians. It's a whole set, and they're like driving somewhere, and it's him and a light-skinned dude that be laughing funny, and then the short, fat lady, this bald,
It's like all of them. It's special with
Linnell and Red Grant.
It was that.
Yeah, he's talking about Red Grant.
His whole set. It was great. Hell,
that is. Well, let me ask you this: if when you, what is the song like? What's the song? I guess I don't know how to say this. What is the song that comes on that would throw you off?
To me, it's just all about the vibe. Like, I made a specific playlist not too long ago, like from Valentine's Day. Right? And I put a certain song on the playlist, right? And this song is, it's a sexy song, right? I'm going to say, it's Neo Sexy Love. Everybody loves that song. It's the fire-ass song. Love. But at first, it started with Beyonce's Speechless. You got me. Come on, man. Beyonce Speechless. Then D'Angelo Untitled came on. And then something else in that same vibe came on. And then Neo Sexy Love came on. It was a little too abrupt. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, damn, it's throwing off the vibe. I have to skip it. You know what I'm saying? Like, in another atmosphere, it might have worked. But
okay, so when you are, you know, inside of the woman, and the song comes on, you leave the woman, and then you go.
You hit it with this one. luckily we were still in the foreplay aspect of it, so I was able to just reach my hand over.
Man, one time I got a playlist of all just women R&B, and it's like my favorite playlist right now. And I put songs on there sometimes, not really thinking what's gonna happen. And it was on shuffle. We was having a great time. And then Glow by Victoria Monet came on. It's like, fast. We got the clothes.
Nah. This ain't the vibe we on right now.
I mean, it's like when you think about making love, like it's the same with putting a track list together for an album you're about to present to the people. You're trying to, you know, create a vibe, create like a roller coaster ride. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes if you throw that thing on shuffle, you know, the loop-de-loop could come immediately. And it's like, wait, we got to work up to the loop-de-loop.
I mean, yeah. I'm not really that romantic, so I wouldn't know. But when it how long are these fucking playlists? Because y'all are talking like these playlists are like, I mean, are we talking like, we talking about Rap Caviar? Are we talking about like 50 songs? Like how long are y'all humping where y'all need 50 songs?
You know, you just gotta just let the vibe play out, you know? Yeah,
bro, 50 times three, each song is average 3 minutes. That's 150
minutes. The answer on title is like 7 minutes.
I'm averaging it out. The average song about 3 minutes. You talking about a 50 song? You talking about 150 minutes of fucking? That's a long time.
It's not about going from top to bottom. It's just about, you know, putting the vibes on there, and then whatever gets hit, get hit.
So when you are done, and let's say you still got another 49 songs left on the playlist. I've been doing this a long time, you know what I'm saying? So when y'all are done, do you turn the music off?
I mean, depending on what type of a night it is, you know. It depends on what type of night it is.
Hey, what do you be doing, bro? You be just be on the computer, like, you be in there with your DJ equipment.
I don't be DJing or none of that. I just be in there and I do my business. It's like the bathroom. You go in there, you do your business, and you get on.
Oh, interesting. That's okay. What's up. I respect that, man.
What's up? Hey.
I mean, sometimes you know there's a lingering. There is this like intimate lingering that happens afterwards. When you leave that song, look, if her is on, brother, and I have a queen in my arms, I ain't turning that off, man. We're going to really just live in each other's skin real quick. We're going to listen to this her, and we're going to really understand God through each other, man. Come on, brother. You got like some Palo Santo, brother.
Have y'all ever made love to somebody's music whom you've met in person?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that awkward?
No. One time it was both of our homegirls. We got a homegirl named Tenario who makes very, very sensual music. And she's like a part of our tribe. So it's like her sister. Mm-hmm. And it's like, whatever. You know, that's what she makes it for. It's beautiful. And I told Tenario too, like, yo, it works. Like,
You got one. So what are some other, I like to call them just some R&B I'm losing a word right now, but misconceptions. There we go. Some misconceptions when it comes to R&B, right? I hear one all the time when it comes to, oh, you have to be hurt in order to make great music. You know what I'm saying? They pin it on Mary J. Blige all the time. It's like, oh, she can't make music. She can't make dope music unless she goes through some shit, go through pain or something like that. Usher, greatest albums of Confessions, right? That, I mean, we can argue, not argue, whatever the case may be, but he's went through a lot of pain through that shit in order for him to make some great music. Is that a requirement to make great R&B, or is that something that you subscribe to?
I mean, I feel like just as much as there's been great painful records, there's been great love records too. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like to continue to make good product, you just have to be a true artist, especially this day and age. We're more connected to the artists who are putting themselves in their music and not so much the artists who are getting songs from other great writers. You know what I'm saying? Like the manufactured artists, you know what I'm saying? They can still work because they have the resources and the bank behind them to make it do what it's supposed to do. But the ones who last are the ones who are really giving you them and continue to give you them regardless of what they're going through.
I remember I had Partisan Fontaine up here, right? And you know, Partisan Fontaine is one of the reasons why Cardi B is who she is. He's, you know, infamous for penning some of the biggest songs, right? So my question to you, and I asked him, I said, I wasn't asking about Cardi specifically, but I asked Partisan during the interview, I asked him, do you have to write your own music in order to be considered one of the greats, top five, et cetera, right? So I'm asking y'all now in R&B, do you have to write your own music to be considered top five?
I don't think it's the same kind of thing for R&B. There's been, you know, some incredible artists that you're going to put up there. Like, do we know if Whitney Houston wrote her own records? I don't really know. She might have, you know, pinned a few, but Whitney Houston's going on that list whether she did it or not. You know, so I think that answers the question.
Yeah, like Donny Hathaway didn't write a song for you, and that's like the only one of niggas ever sing from Donny. So so I would definitely say you can be a vessel for a vision because, I mean, having with Leon Ware and Marvin Gaye, like you just never know who's the vessel and who's the vision and how it's going to be presented. Like, would Marvin Gaye be Marvin Gaye without Leon? Like, we never know. But it's like, at the end of the day, what is your purpose here? There are some people who are amazing at being powerful vessels and messengers, you know?
Why do you think it's accepted more when it comes to R&B and even pop music and things of that nature versus hip hop? With hip hop, it's like, oh, you got a writer. And we know there's writers for great songs no matter what, right? But when it comes to hip hop specifically, it's like, you know, it's damn near a dagger or a curse if somebody's writing shit for you. Why are the letters?
I mean, I feel like, from the beginning of rap, it's always been, we've always taken rap more literal. You know what I'm saying? Like the people put in, we believe everything that they're saying from their lifestyle to the people that they shooting and whatever. So anytime we hear something that go against that, we stop believing in that artist because rap is supposed to be literal. Like, nigga, you supposed to really be from there. You supposed to really do these things. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just, I don't know. I feel like that's just what we're used to. R&B is more so, you know, put on, it, you know, in the traditional sense, put on this silk suit, here's this rose, sing to this girl, whether you're beating your wife at home or not. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's
facts.
There's
facts.
Really been artists like that back in the day who's like, nigga, you're not really living right. Like that.
Right.
But he has a nice texture to his voice, so whatever. We'll take it.
Is there any singers, not singers, is there anybody that you haven't yet worked, I mean, that you have worked with that you probably, you know, feel like y'all might have gotten access to too early? You know how, like, I've had an opportunity to work with certain people and I knew I probably should have waited on that opportunity.
Oh, wow. That's a great question.
I've never been asked that before, man.
I definitely got one.
Go ahead.
Nipsey. We were in the studio with Nipsey. If anybody has listened to Athena's Erotica, right? Our song All Night Long. We recorded that song All Night Long the day we was in the studio with Nipsey and the futurist Mike and Keys.
Yeah.
So we had went to the studio and his session was ending. So he was kind of just chilling for a second. And, you know, we've always been fans of Nip, man. Like 2009, I was running around my parking lot in Reseda listening to Hustle in the House. Like, I've always been a Nipsey fan. So when we finally got into that intimate space, I just was like, damn, like I want to work. I want to but I'm gonna just let this happen because I don't feel like I didn't feel like we was ready. And yeah, not ready, like talent wise, I knew we could deliver something great, but I wanted him to believe that we deserved it. You know what I'm saying? I was kind of, I sat back and I was like, I'm gonna wait my turn. We'll get back to it.
I feel
it. We never got the chance again.
It's always that one scenario, because I felt like that a couple of times too in my career. So that's why I asked that, because I feel like y'all might have had that moment too.
Wow. Yeah, that's powerful, man.
And it kind of just makes you just think of like, you know, I don't think you were wrong in that moment. You know, you really tested the moment for what it was, but at the same time, you go back to, damn, we only got one life. Maybe we should press on moments like that, because you just never know where it can go.
Honestly, though, Chuck, I think I was wrong. Like, when I think about it, because...
Think so?
You know, I think sometimes, especially, you know, I'll speak for myself. Like, sometimes I play it too cool. You know, like,
yeah.
There's other artists out here who leave it all hanging out there, and sometimes they annoy you with that shit. They pass, like, listen to my shit, man. Yo, trust me, you gotta... Let me be on the boom. Like, I have the talent. We could have gave this man a very powerful hook. I know we could have rose to the occasion and gave him some quality. But I was thinking too much about where we was at and where he was at and all that shit. And I was just like, yeah, man, I played it too cool. And it's just like, yeah, sometimes you just gotta go for it.
Well, as long as you can apply it to the next scenario, next situation, you learn from it. So that's really all that matters from the situation, bro. Yeah. What I do want to talk about too, man, I want you to show the merch real quick, man. Let the folks know what else you got available for the people out there to purchase and support.
This,
you know,
brand,
what I'm saying?
This brand new, hot off the press. And so Rose Worldwide is our brand. Real One still exists. We do all the designing, everything from the top to the bottom. And this is our new sweater. This actually is cut and sew. This is our sweater. It's not no gilded or nothing. This is all embroidery. This will be coming out. I don't know when this is coming out, but
very soon. It's going to be out.
Okay, yeah. Friday, March 5th, this thing is out. So you can go to roseworldwide.net and get it. We got plenty of things from hats, t-shirts, hoodies, even Letterman jackets. Like, we're going into the full genuine leather jackets. So just stay tapped in with us. We're going to continue to grow just like our music.
Got it. Hey, you got a song? You got a song. I just want to promote the new record too, man. Spell It in Diamonds, man. Talk about that. You staying busy. The album, the project came out a couple months ago. You sent in some people with some new music. You staying busy for 2021.
Yeah. I mean, we got a mission, man. We got somewhere we're trying to go. And Spell It in Diamonds is a powerful record, we feel. We put out a lot of music, but every now and again, I got to stop and acknowledge the fact that we hit the nail on the head, you know, every now and again. Like, Patient, I feel like we hit the nail on the head when it comes to Jake and Papa, our brand, the sound that we're trying to, the story that we're trying to tell these people about who Jake and Papa is. And I feel Spell It in Diamonds is one of those records. So listen to it. It's a beautiful record. It's fire. It's a bop. You can play it in many different atmospheres, and it's Jake and Papa through and through.
A question for Jake, because I know Jake is built like a transformer, but do you ever look at people like myself and just be disgusted? Like,
never, man.
Like, nigga, do a push up. Do one push up at least.
You know, spicy deluxe eating ass nigga.
Nah, man. Never. Everybody's on their own journey. You know,
I'm saying,
I ain't going on your journey, but you know, everybody got their own journey.
What's the most unhealthy thing you've eaten, Jake? Because I've seen your workout regimens, and your workout regimens scare the shit out of me. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, if I need to work out like you work out, I'd just rather shave off 2-3 years. You know what I'm saying? Fuck it. You know?
I only train like that, bro, because ever since I was a kid, I felt like I had a ball of energy welling within the center of my being. And it felt like if I didn't do something wild and ridiculous and crazy, I felt like I was going to implode. I felt like since I was a little kid. And so when I started doing wilder things, it felt like it would start to express that thing and it would mitigate slightly, but then it would come back. And so I had to do it again. So that's why I got into crumping. That's why I got into bars. That's why I got into martial arts and weapons and stuff. Because when I don't do stuff, it feels like I'm just like a ball ready to explode. So it keeps me balanced.
So recording doesn't fulfill that?
No, recording doesn't, man. Recording is actually a very serene and peaceful experience, especially with my voice personally. Ever since I was a kid, I had more of a softer voice. Mm-hmm. And so it's more of a peaceful experience for me. It's very therapeutic in the space of there are things that I experience in my life spiritually and mentally that I have to express via music or I feel incomplete. And so that's the purpose that it serves, is that I feel like I was put here to deliver the things that God tells me through my music. But when it comes to the physical expression, it's a very, like, it has to be explosive, bro. Like, I can't just sit here and do push-ups on the floor. It's like, that's not what does it. Like, I have to hit something, I got to get off, I got to laugh. I got to do things that express it wildly, and then I can relax into a space of serenity to record.
So you what know? You're saying is, when I see you in person and I see that look in your face, that's not you, that's just my insecurities flaring up.
Hey, in most cases, the things that people experience negatively are a form of projection.
I feel yeah. It. Yeah. There you go. Talk your shit. Man.
Yo, you're just fine, bro. You great, bro.
Unless you got bro, Air listen, Force.
Hey,
Jake, right. Black hey, Air Force Jake, One.
Listen, I'm the guy that's going to tell you that I don't like your music, bro. It's give it to me straight. You know what I'm saying? Hey,
bro, this is like me, man. I'm telling you, everybody's not supposed to look. If you try to go 360 from that bar right now, it's gonna hurt you. Like, not everybody's gonna do that. Like, somebody just tried to do that the other day. We was all at the park, and because I did it, the homie did it. Because the homie did it, he felt he had to do it. He ripped damn near his whole skin off his hand. And oh, it's like, yo, not everybody is supposed to do the same thing. So, you know, like, you may fall in love with Pilates, bro.
Bro, I'm not. I fell in love with In-N-Out Burger. You know what I'm saying? He had double with grilled onions.
Hey, hey, it's all about reaching your level, man.
You know what I'm saying? Chocolate shake. Animal
you
style.
Hear me.
You know what I'm saying? I'm the nigga that order animal style shakes. Yeah.
Ah, there we go together. Fuck it.
Hey, man, we can talk all night. Is there something that hasn't been mentioned that you want to make sure that people know? Obviously, the project is out. You got the new song in the way. You got the merch. Yeah. Is there anything that we haven't mentioned that you want to make sure that the people know about Jacob Papa?
I mean, I think we touched on everything, man. Just continue to follow the journey. We're going to continue to give you quality. A lot of people... I don't think a lot of people know we're super, super independent. You know, it's me, my brother, and our manager. It's like a really, really small team. So everything that you see, you don't ever have to question whether Jake and Papa was behind it or not. We are, you know, almost to an overwhelming point. But, you know, we are going to give you quality as best we can, musically, fashion-wise, visually. So, you know, just continue to ride. We're loyal people. You loyal to us, we loyal to you. So let's just keep riding.
Hey, manifest something real quick. Who is it that y'all want to work with? Producer and the artist. Put it out there.
Dr. Dre.
Okay.
We was in the studio with Dre, like right after Nip passed. And it was just like, just to be right there. It was just like, yeah. Dre on some R&B shit. I feel like, forget about it.
Now, did you take that moment to speak up then? It's Dre. Come on. Yeah.
There was some.
Hey, I got a hook for this shit. I got a hook for this shit, my nigga.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, nah, Dre, record that shit.
No.
Dre, record that shit over, dog. That shit ain't.
No, we definitely are taking, you know, our destiny into our own hands every opportunity we can.
Love it, man. Love it. Well, Blackberry Winter is out right now. Spelling and Diamonds, you know, is Spelling and Diamonds already out right now, or is it going to be?
Spelling and Diamonds comes out March 5th, Friday, March 5th.
There it is, along with the merch and all that as well, man.
Yes, new merch. Yeah. New merch for everything. Come on, man. How many people you know, how many independent, especially R&B, whatever, you know, that's dropping records with not even merch, bro. This is clothing. You know what I'm saying? This is premier imported quality stuff. You know what I'm saying? Ain't too many people doing that. Stop acting like you've seen it before. Just like when we seen Prince performing Purple Rain with the scarf and it started raining during Purple Rain. We got to stop acting like we see shit like this every day. We really live in this shit, man. Stop playing with me.
Rose, you said roseworldwide.net?
Yes.
All right, roll.
Man. We gotta get y'all right too, man. Don't think I forgot. I'm gonna get y'all right. Send me y'all sizes.
Hey, whenever, man. I'm loving that, man. Real ones still exists, of course. We got the homegrown homies in here. Jake and Papa, yeah. Always a pleasure, man. Look forward Jake to the next Papa. One. Yeah. Oh, the next one is gonna be in person, man. We appreciate y'all as always being.
Hey, wait. Hold on, real quick. Y'all getting the vaccine?
No, thank you, bro.
No.
It's
the elderberry
black seed oil and sea moss.
It's the elderberry.
No,
I'm a real shit. Like my incense.
Hey, look, it's been working so far. I reckon we'll be all right.
I'm with you.
Yeah, ancestors did it for years.
I'm with you.
Tough one, man. Man, love y'all. Y'all stay up. We appreciate you love. As always, man. All right.
Love y'all, man. Thank y'all for having us.
Much continued progress, man. Peace.
Yes, indeed. Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head, Homegrown Radio. We out.